In 1941, Winston Churchill uttered these words, "We shall never surrender." In doing so, he set a nation, indeed the entire British Commonwealth, on a path to victory against the Axis forces in World War II. On May 25, 1961, President Kennedy addressed Congress and stated, "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth." The space race was on in earnest. And we all know the outcome of that statement and Neil Armstrong's dramatic words when he first stepped out onto the moon. In 1980, Bill Gates, the CEO of Microsoft, stated the following, "A computer on every desk and in every home. A clear vision that today has far been exceeded in the industrialized West, as this device will attest to." Last week, President Obama began normalizing relations with Cuba, the first president of the United States to do so in 50 years. And the results of that decision will likely have an effect on the lives of thousands of Cuban and American citizens, resulting in lives being changed for better or for worse. The full ramifications we'll know in time. In each of these situations, we bear witness to an individual of considerable power and influence making a decision or a declaration. And that decision has a ripple effect on the lives of people everywhere. And in each of those situations, we can imagine how individual people like you and like me might have been impacted, or how we are impacted. We know that Churchill's statement resulted in 4 more years of war and the toppling of Nazi Germany. President Kennedy's address to Congress did result in a man on the moon. Bill Gates got his wish and then some. And we'll see what happens with President Obama. In each of these decisions, lives are impacted. Soldiers sent to fight, scientists and engineers building rockets, the beginning of the computer revolution. In each case, the decision by an individual of power and influence had a ripple effect on the unknown individuals below them. Luke's gospel lesson for us this morning has a similar message. A powerful man named Caesar Augustus, who was revered as a god due to being the Roman emperor, issued a decree for a census. A decree that sent the whole world, or at least Caesar's world, into motion. Unknown to him, that decree sent a pregnant young woman from one unremarkable town to another. And the only thing that marked her destination as important is that long ago a king had been born there, King David. Mary arrives with Joseph, and they're surrounded by strangers, people whose names are not recorded in the history books. It's there that she arrives, and she gives birth. Here in this unremarkable town, the Christ child is born, a king who will rule forever, a kingdom which will have no end. It's ironic, isn't it, how events are sometimes put into motion. How the most unremarkable, the most unlikely of people are chosen to do the most courageous and inspiring of things. In the midst of our everyday lives, Jesus comes to us. Born in uninspiring circumstances to unassuming parents. It is not the corridors of power that shake and tremble with the arrival of Jesus. Rather, it is in the city streets and the country fields where whispers about the Messiah are to be found. The angels visit the shepherds and share the word about the birth of Christ. They don't visit Caesar or Herod. The message of the angels to the shepherds reinforces that Jesus was born for all people. Luke's narrative of the birth builds towards the climax. It starts quietly with Mary, with Joseph, traveling alone together. They wander the streets of Bethlehem, looking for a place to stay. Turned away at every corner, they can travel no further. And Mary gives birth to her son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We like to romanticize the nativity story, don't we? We embellish the events surrounding the birth of Christ. In fact, we have romanticized the story to a point where there are elements contained in the modern day telling of the story that aren't actually in the Bible. Consider this. The innkeeper has no lines. In fact, there's actually no mention of the innkeeper at all. We can assume one existed, but he's not actually mentioned. In our earlier service, when Mary and Joseph came into Bethlehem, I held that sign up. No vacancy. But he's not there. He doesn't say that. We can assume that he does. We can assume that he's there. But it's not actually in Scripture. And therefore, there is no insistence by the innkeeper that Mary and Joseph stay in the manger, since there was no room at the inn, since it was full. Most likely, Jesus was born in a stable because that's the first place Joseph could find when Mary couldn't travel any further. There's no mention of a midwife. No mention of anyone helping with the delivery. By all indications, Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem alone. And when Jesus was born, they were probably still alone. Think about that. No donkey that Mary rode in on. No innkeeper and no little drummer boy. None of these characters are found in the birth narratives. The wise men, they don't show up for another week, and they only appear in Matthew's telling of the story. How much do we add to this story, and why do we do it? Is it for our benefit or for Jesus's? Do we need to make this story fit into our own lives? When Jesus enters into our world, when God enters into human history, it's not with loud fanfare. It's quiet and still. And then the scene changes. And we are with the weary shepherds tending to their flocks. And here the drama builds as an angel of the Lord appears to them and shares the news of Jesus' birth. Then with this news delivered, the action rises once again as a host of angels appear and pronounce glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom He is pleased. Well, the shepherds decide they must go and visit this child. They must see the Messiah And so they're off, scrambling down the hills towards Bethlehem. They are roused from their routine, excited by the news that they have heard. For excitement is found with the Christ child, and new life, life eternal, is found with the Christ child. And it didn't take long for the word to spread, did it? We can thank the angels for sharing the news to the shepherds who descended on Bethlehem, and everyone needed to know why. Why are the shepherds here? And they shared that news with all that they met when they went to see the Christ child. The birth of Christ is a story where we witness the extraordinary occurring from and amongst the ordinary aspects of life. Consider this in an episode of the television show Friends. Phoebe asks Monica to help her duplicate her mom's chocolate chip cookie recipe. Phoebe has lost this recipe and longs to have a taste of those cookies again. And Monica, she's a baker, and so she agrees to help. Multiple combinations of recipes are experimented with, each of them tasted and tried, and each of them falling short. And eventually, the winning recipe is found. And where did this recipe come from? Well, it was written on the back of a pack of chocolate chips. Or perhaps I could put it this way. Why does your mom's, or the memory of your mom's, apple pie taste better than anyone else's? What makes it different? The extraordinary out of the ordinary. That is what Christmas Eve is about. That is what the birth of Jesus is about. God used a census ordered by a powerful man, and the birth of a child, a common, everyday occurrence, to enter into human history and change it for the better. Which leads us to us. We know why God entered into the world. We know that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, came to offer us new life, the promise of life eternal with God in heaven. We know why God came. What I am wondering is, why did you come? Why are you here? Is it out of a sense of obligation to appease parents or a spouse? Did you come because it's your Christmas tradition? Did you come because this is church and you never miss a service? What were you hoping would happen tonight? What did you hope you would find? Did you find what you were looking for? Now set aside the thought of what you think brought you here and ponder within your heart, what are you really seeking? What are you looking for? Perhaps on Christmas Eve, that isn't a question you're accustomed to answering. But take a moment in the silence of this holy night and ask yourself that question. What am I looking for? What am I truly looking for this Christmas Eve? We are all looking for something, aren't we? We are all searching for meaning, for purpose, for understanding. We are all searching for something, for that one thing that we hope will complete us, for something that will fill up the emptiness that we often feel inside. Friends, Christmas is when we remember that God spoke an unconditional yes to us. God doesn't do this with great fanfare or acclaim. Instead, God slips in the back door. God arrives late at night, when the inns are full, when we are distracted by the routines of our regular lives. God arrives as we arrive. In the midst of ordinary events, God enters into our lives as a helpless baby. A baby who will grow, live with us, teach us, ultimately die for us, and then will be raised from the dead, securing for us a place beside our Creator. This is how God enters into human history. This is how God enters into our history. Jesus comes into the world for us. Jesus comes to bring joy, peace, love, and to offer hope. So tonight, remember not what God will do for us, but remember what God has already done for us. Mary and Joseph lived in uncertain times. Their country was occupied by a foreign army. We too live in uncertain times. We too have our troubles, those things which worry us. Yet the message of Christmas is that even in uncertain times, God is at work. God uses ordinary events to impact our lives. So at Christmas, we are asked to share the news of Jesus' birth, just as the angels did. To share the message that Jesus' birth brings great joy to all people. And like the shepherds, we stand amazed at what God has done for us. And we are moved to go and see the marvelous thing that God has done for us. Like Mary, we should treasure the extraordinary, ordinary events that occur at Christmas. So no matter your circumstances this Christmas Eve, know that God called you here to speak the eternal word of life, love, and hope to you. For on this day, a child is born. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. That child was born for you. Today, through an act of selfless love, God moves toward you and bids you His peace. Amen.